Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
It's Tuesday here on Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, injury attorney, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Scott Gulbranson joining me in this first segment is my man Q Myers. Q, how's it going on a Tuesday? Your week start off okay?
Yeah, man. I mean, it started off the best way it could. You know, you got to go out there and knock out a really good show and keep things pushing, man. And so here we are Tuesday on this January 26th, and mentioned it on Monday's show that it was, going to be the 1 year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant. So off the top of the show, man, I just want to say all my love and prayers and everything out to all the families that were affected by this date a year ago.
Yeah, it's well said, because not only do we remember Kobe Bryant today, clearly, you know, one of the best to ever play the game and the sport, and just meant so much to so many. And then, of course, like you said, Q, the families associated with the tragedy too, right? So a lot of folks, in addition to Kobe and his daughter, but also other families impacted permanently by that as well. And coming off what you discussed yesterday in your own tragedy, you know, it's just the ripple effects go on and on and on. And so we want to remember Kobe and the family on this anniversary of that terrible, terrible accident. And of course, Derek Carr dedicated the 2020 season to his idol, Kobe Bryant, as well. So I'm sure we'll see something from him today. And Q, today's show, we got a lot ahead, including talking about some Senior Bowl stuff later on. But I wanted to start off, because no matter how we try to stay away from it, and I don't mean stay away from it like on purpose, as it doesn't deserve discussion, but the Derek Carr question with the Raiders never seems to go away. So you have the NFC Championship game, which we talked about yesterday on this show ad nauseum. And then today already you're seeing stories about where could Aaron Rodgers end up. Like, I still believe he's going to be a Green Bay Packer. I don't think he's going to leave. I don't think there's a chance of that, but you never say never, right? So people are exploring Pro Football Talk, a bunch of different national publications, and guess what? Guess what team is on there? It's, of course, the Las Vegas Raiders, and as a spot for him to go. Now, I don't think so, because I don't think the Raiders are close enough to a championship caliber squad to where you just swap out the quarterback. And let me say this. Derek Carr, I don't have a problem with Derek Carr, but is Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback? Hell yes. Okay.
Well, of course. Yeah. Right.
So you put Aaron Rodgers on the Raiders as they currently stand before any other roster moves, they're still not, they might win a game or two. They might even make the playoffs, let's say, but I don't think they're a championship style squad. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers want to go to the Raiders unless they make some big kind of splash. But here's the question I want to ask you, Q, because we've talked about this before. It doesn't matter what Derek Carr does or doesn't do. Every offseason, we get the same discussion. Some of it from national media who don't follow the team, so they're just throwing spaghetti against the wall, so to speak. But again, amongst Raider fans, too, the debate rages on. And I just have to ask the question. I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing. I should be indifferent about it. I've never heard the team say anything that would indicate they're not happy with Derek Carr or that they're looking to upgrade for a starting quarterback. Now, they might be looking for a young quarterback for the future. You got to. But I just don't. It's hard for me to wrap my head around, man. Like, it just never ends.
No, it doesn't. And the thing about it is, part of that is because everyone knows John Gruden and his infatuation with quarterbacks. Everyone knows, you know, the old quarterback club that he had while he was a fired head football coach, you know, and he did the show on ESPN. Everybody remembers that and how he basically loves every quarterback. Also, everyone knows that he loves veteran quarterbacks and he always wants to look to improve that position. And I think that him and Derek Carr are step by step, side by side. I think they're kind of bound at the hip at this point. But that being said, Aaron Rodgers is a guy who's going to walk into Canton the minute that he's ready to walk into Canton. So he's going to get his gold jacket. And so I could see, you know, a lot of Raider Nation saying, well, you know, why not? I mean, the guy's probably got a good 3 or 4 years. Everyone knows what the Packers did with going and drafting Jordan Love in the first round. And that was kind of a slap in the face. And, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers has done a lot of great things with not a lot of help. You know, think about it. I mean, it's so funny. People want to talk about Derek Carr and his lack of weapons. Look at the lack of weapons Aaron Rodgers has. I mean, he has Devontae Adams and then others. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's who he had. And that's not disrespectful. That's just being honest. I mean, that's what they are. The Packers didn't even go out and get him any help. You know, we always talk about as fans and media and everything, well, the Raiders need to go out and get Derek Carr help. They go and get him help. They go and surround him with a bunch of different talented people, put a really good offensive line. And what does the Packers do? Go get for Aaron Rodgers, who was just in the NFC championship game a year ago? They went and got a backup quarterback. They went and got a quarterback that's basically going to take his job in the first round in a draft when there was a plethora of wide receivers they could have taken to complement Devontae Adams and give themselves an awesome chance. But instead, they just said, hey, it's on you. Go get it done. And he damn near did, you know? So I can see where fans would say, you know, well, why not? You know, they remember what Rich Gannon did at the end of his career. Why not go get a guy like Aaron Rodgers? Saw what Tom Brady's doing in Tampa Bay, going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I understand why Raider Nation would talk about that. I understand why some of the even national heads would talk about that. But everything I just outlined, and with everything I just said, I'm with you 100%. I don't think that Derek Carr is going anywhere, and I sure don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Raider.
No, and you mentioned it. We talked about it yesterday because I made the case yesterday's show cue that Patrick Mahomes should actually be the MVP. If you look at numbers, if you look at what he's done over the course of the last 26 games, being 25-1, of course, losing the only game to the Raiders. But the one thing I mentioned, and we had a caller who called in, and he said, hey, listen, I think his name was Bryce. Bryce called in and said, listen, the argument I have for Rodgers, and it was a good one. I love when callers rebuke me and have a good reasoning for it, because he said, listen, Rodgers is my MVP because Rodgers did what he did. He got to an NFC championship game and they didn't give him help. To your point, they didn't give him more wide receivers. They didn't give him a young stud tight end and stability on the offensive line. He didn't have that. So he actually did more with less. Yes, Mahomes did more. He had more numbers and all that kind of stuff and might be more flashy. But with Rodgers, he did it with one wide receiver, basically, and that's pretty much it, right?
Right.
And so to your point, I think that's why I named Aaron Rodgers my loser yesterday because of, first of all, his coaching. The decisions in the NFC Championship game will haunt, I think, that franchise for a while because they were awful. But number two was they haven't given him the tools. He had to do it. So they go out and get a quarterback. I have no problem. We've talked about the Raiders need to go get a young quarterback to develop. No doubt about it. But if you're going to win now, you look at what Tampa Bay did. Okay, Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, yes, he's on the downside. He's almost done, but he's in the Super Bowl. They went out and they got four or five guys to win now, right?
Yep.
Knowing that you have to develop, their defense is young, so their defense is going to be okay for a while. On offense, though, they said, you know what? Our defense is good. It's peaking. We got these guys like Devin White. We got Pierre Paul. We got these guys. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to get three or four guys on offense that instantly put us into contention. Right?
Right.
And the Packers just haven't done that. And with the Raiders, it's the same situation. If the Raiders were a quarterback away, then I can see upgrading because, as Mike Mayock said, it doesn't matter what position it is, we always upgrade. But the Raiders, I don't think they're close enough to me to a championship caliber team to just upgrade quarterback and then you're ready to go. I just don't see it.
Right. You know, and that's a major factor. Also, I kind of feel like, you know, like I mentioned before, John Gruden and Derek Carr are so much on the same page.
Right.
And I know Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback, and I'm sure he can get up to speed quick, fast, and in a hurry. But at the same time, Carr knows exactly what Gruden's thinking. Gruden knows what Carr's thinking. I mean, it's like basically Gruden on the field. You know what I mean? Like he's worked that relationship so well that I think they're step in step with each other. And so where I think Aaron Rodgers could step in and do a really good job pretty quick, fast, and hurry as a veteran, as a smart dude. But I just don't think that right now, without, you know, having a few more upgrades, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and maybe even a couple of upgrades on the offensive side of the ball, I don't think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers makes that big of a difference, to your point, for the Raiders right now.
No, and the other thing that has to be said here too, Q, and I'd love, check me on this. This is my train of thought. I don't think John Gruden thinks he needs a quarterback the caliber, as much as he loves quarterbacks, to your point earlier on what you said. I don't think he believes that he needs an elite top five quarterback. I don't think he needs it because of the way he runs his offense. Of course, it's run first. You pass. Yes, you got to be able to go vertical. Derek Carr has the arm to go vertical when he needs to. It's not that he doesn't. And so I don't know that John Gruden feels like he's got to get that guy, because as much as he loves those quarterbacks, the way the Raiders offense is, the Raiders offense to me seems much more reactive. The Morning Show guys were talking about it today, Pritch and Clay, and I thought they did a great job with this. They had a caller who called in too and talked about it. Is the Raiders tend to run their offense, for example, motion in their offense. They run motion in their offense to see how the defense will react. You look at a Kansas City and the mentality there with Andy Reid, they run motion to cause disruption and to dictate how the offensive game goes. I think that's a key difference there. And so maybe John Gruden in his head, him and Derek Carr on the same playing field, they know what they want to do. And I don't know that John Gruden thinks that he needs that superstar quarterback like Patrick Mahomes to run his offense.
No, I don't think he does. I mean, hell, he didn't win a Super Bowl with a superstar quarterback. Exactly. He won it with Brad Johnson. You know, actually, he won it with a great defense, which is kind of funny that the Raiders are in the situation that they're in. Yeah, but either way you look at it, yeah, I mean, he doesn't need a great quarterback. You know, I mean, I'm sure he would love a great quarterback. I'm sure, hell, he'd love to coach Aaron Rodgers, sure. You know, but I think he realizes who he has, what he's capable of doing, and I think he knows that he can win with Derek Carr. And I do believe, especially after what I saw from Carr in 2020 with him starting to use his legs and start to get out of harm's way and start to move the pocket a little bit. Now, I know multiple times when we were at that game together, that Sunday night game against the Chiefs, I leaned over and was like, look, Derek Carr doesn't make that play unless he's moving, you know. And so he did take a step in the right direction with that. I think the next step he has to take is ball security in the pocket. And then you have a damn good quarterback. I mean, you have a damn good quarterback anyway, but with those, you know, minor cleanups and stuff like that, I think you have an even better quarterback in Derek Carr.
I agree, and I think that the culture here, though, too, with the Raiders, and I'm not just talking about the fans, but I don't know, and we talked about this earlier in the year, I think, Q, which was I don't know that even if Derek Carr won a Super Bowl, whether some of the fans in Raider Nation would still not like him. Like, oh, well, he did it because his defense was great. Oh, he did it because Josh Jacobs had, you know, 2,000 yards that year.
Right.
They would always find a reason not to give him credit while finding reason to give him the blame. But that raises the bigger question, which is, can the Raiders get to that promised land, not from an ability perspective, but from a mentality? Because I think Derek Carr, listen, I don't know what Derek Carr could have been because of the instability in the organization. I'm not giving him an out for the mistakes that he's made or the development that he hasn't done. But I just think that, you know, you look at players, you look at like Dwayne Haskins now, who's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, right?
Right.
You look at what happened there. Some of that on him, absolutely. He made bad decisions, all of that. But he was also in a very dysfunctional, as a young player in a dysfunctional organization, as we found out, even more dysfunctional than we knew. And I don't think he ever had a chance there. So now does he make the most of his second chance? We'll see. And with Derek Carr, he's never been with another team. He came into the Raiders and all that dysfunction, all the different coaches, all the different offensive coordinators. Now he's had stability. We've seen him get better. But mentally, can he and the team get over that past? And I think it's still there. I really do. Until they win something and get in the playoffs and maybe win a playoff game, I don't think it goes away.
Well, it might not, but, you know, that's also on Derek Carr. I mean, correct. And that's what kind of separates the good players from the great players, is you've got to be able to get over. You've got to be able to move past. You've got to be mentally strong enough to not will your team to victory, but, you know, just be that mental leader and that physical leader and go out and be that dude. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dysfunction that's put on the feet of the Raiders, no doubt about it. That's why Mark Davis gave John Gruden the long contract that they gave him, so he would be there in place and wouldn't have to worry about changing coordinators and changing you know, head coaches and changing schemes and all that. So he would have stability for the first time in his career. But at the same time, you know, Derek Carr has got to, he can't say, woe is me. He's got to say, whoa, here I go. You know, like, let's go. We got this opportunity. I got these great players around me. Let's go get it done. So, you know, some of that's on him. Some of that's on the organization, but they got to find a way to get it right. Now, with all that being said, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie at all. I like Derek Carr a lot. I've said all these praises about him, and I think that they could win with him. Not going to lie, I would be pretty excited to see Aaron Rodgers as a Raider quarterback just because of what he's able to do with not a whole lot. Now, right. The one thing I will say about that, and this is what you have to caution, Derek Carr is a guy who I believe is very much liked in that locker room. Yeah. He's a guy who everyone has a lot of respect for. Aaron Rodgers is a different dude. Okay, he's a different style guy. Like, you know, there's talented people in this world, and then they're just kind of like, yeah, but they kind of rub me the wrong way.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is that kind of a dude that has a very good chance of rubbing you the wrong way or rubbing multiple people the wrong way by just his attitude and the way he acts. So all the talent in the world could be kind of a butthole at times, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. And it's funny. On Monday nights, I go meet my good friend Phil, and we have a cigar. We catch up. It's the one time a week we can hang for a little bit. And we were talking about Aaron Rodgers last night, and that's exactly what came up. The point was, he's a different cat, and he's not the rah-rah guy. He's not the kind of guy like that. We said it this way because we're not on the field with him, so I don't know, right? It's different when you play with him. But I said, look, I don't think he's the guy, like, he doesn't seem like super motivating to the other players. Like,
right,
he's not the guy
right.
in the huddle who's going to get you all fired up and say, okay, guys, let's go down the field and win this game. He doesn't ever exude that to me. He has the ability. He's amazing with his arm. He can use his feet when he needs to. But you're right. He's a different dude. And that's the other thing you have to consider here is you look at a player and you get blinded by talent, but then you have to
right.
look at that locker room fit. Does it fit? You know, would he fit with all these young players that the Raiders have on their offense, for example? I don't know. It's a gamble at that point. It's not a gamble on his talent, but it's a gamble if he meshes. Just bringing him in, let's say they ever did that. Again, I don't think it's going to happen. But if
right,
they did, does that mean, does suddenly Josh Jacobs not feel good about things because his relationship with his quarterback? Do people like Hunter Renfrow, Henry Ruggs, Darren Waller, do they suddenly not click with the guy and there's just a weird feeling there and then suddenly you're backwards again? So it is.
It's all a possibility. It's all a possibility for sure.
Absolutely. So, all right, well, we're going to conclude this segment and we're going to say goodbye to Q. He'll be back with us later in the show. Coming up next, we'll take your call, 702-365-9200. What do you think of the conversation around Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers? It just doesn't stop. And then, of course, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jesse Merrick will join us. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black Today here on this Tuesday. Thanks to my man, Q Myers, for joining us, segment one. He'll be back later in the show for the Q-tip. So stay tuned for that. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Jesse Merrick, who joins us every Tuesday. He is from News 3 Las Vegas, covers the Raiders, covers all sports here in Las Vegas. He is also, has been for his life, a big Buccaneers fan. So we're going to talk to him about the NFC Championship game and his Buccaneers getting to the Super Bowl. So we'll talk to him about that. We'll also get to your calls. 702-365-9200 is the number. That's the Raider Nation Radio listener hotline. We will get you on the air as we always do. By the way, the show powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, injury attorney, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Also, reminder, I power up for every show thanks to Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars are great nutrition for the entire family, certified gluten-free, all natural ingredients. These things are great for a snack or for meal replacement like I use them. I eat those instead of lunch every day before the show. No artificial sweeteners, sugar, alcohols, any of that nasty stuff that you get in some of these protein bars out there. Contains superfoods like kale, spinach, and quinoa. You might say you don't like that stuff, but trust me, you do not taste it. This is great tasting stuff. When I have a sweet tooth, right, because that's my problem, when I was much heavier, when I was 75 pounds heavier than I am now before I got serious about my health, I would eat sugar. But I'll tell you what, my sugar Jones, when I get it, I go to Dr. Jen's, I get an Ultimate Protein Bar. It tastes good, does not taste like a roof shingle. Great flavors to choose from. Today I had the dark chocolate almond, which was fantastic. High in protein. Helps you sustain energy, no sugar crash, and it gives you fiber. So it keeps you full. You eat one of these things, and I say meal replacement because I can eat it instead of lunch, and I don't feel hungry until, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock when it's dinner time with my family. So please check out Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars, drjensnutrition.com. If you use the code SBT10, you get a special discount just for our listeners. Plus, you get free shipping. That's Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. Thanks for their support. They are members of Raider Nation. They support you. You support them. It's great. All right, we're going to go on the phone lines. Our good friend Matt in Hoboken is on the line. Matt, how you doing today on this Tuesday, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I have two quick points today.
Okay, great.
And I want to talk first about the Mike Mayock interview. I don't know if you read Vinny's article yet. But
I have. I hadn't got to it yet, but it's great because now you give me a lead-in.
Yeah, so there's one comment in that article that Mayock said about Damon Arnette and how he's got a lot of talent but needs to apply himself better nutrition-wise and weight room-wise and the other things, basically just get more focus. And I thought that was interesting because we've been talking about that. You know, I've called in on that subject on the show. You've spoken about it at length. And I think we uncovered that mystery pretty easily, and I think Mike Mayock basically just confirmed it. So when you read it, you'll see that he's talking. There's a quote in there when he talks to, about Damon Arnette having to apply himself better, especially with the things that athletes do on their own, such as weight room and nutrition. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, I'm not a guy that, and I think you know this, I'm not someone who calls in and for Derek Carr's head all the time. I'm not one of those type of guys. I do believe we could win with him. But it has to be acknowledged that, you know, if we acquire a guy like a Deshaun Watson or like an Aaron Rodgers, you know, you would go to instant contention. I mean, regardless of the defense, those guys are generational guys, and you would go to instant contention. So it's something that's got to be looked at, unfortunately, just because of the what it would do for you, you know, in terms of a franchise. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, and Matt, I think two things with the quarterback situation. Number one is, like you said, when you're talking about a generational guy, and I said it in the first segment when Q was on with me, which was, look, there's no question. I mean, nothing against Derek Carr. Derek Carr's a fine quarterback. But when you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry, they're just not in the same league. It's just not. At least at this point, if Derek Carr goes on a run and wins three championships or two championships or even one and puts up those kind of numbers consistently, then we can have the conversation. But he hasn't done that. The reasons for that, could they be his talent level? Sure. Could it be the situation he's been in? A little bit, no doubt about it. So I think you're right. And Mike Mayock has always said, I don't think the Raiders go into an offseason saying, oh, we need to get a starting quarterback. I think what Mike Mayock has said repeatedly, and he said it in the article from Vinny today, which we'll talk to Vinny at the end of the show about it as well, is he said, if we can get better at any position, we will always look to do so. So if you do that, that's fine. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the market. Deshaun Watson clearly is on the market. I think there's other teams who probably have more to give than the Raiders do, so I don't think that'll happen. And back to your point, I want to touch on Vinny's article about Damon Arnette, because I'm going to give you the quote, and this is what Matt was talking about. When asked about Damon Arnette and how big the offseason was for him, he said, he talked about his workout regimen, all that kind of stuff, because he said, quote, because when things come easy for you, you don't always work on the other things. So Damon Arnette, a very gifted athlete with all the talent in the world, there's no question. And then he goes on to say, quote, and now Damon really has to focus on the weight room, the nutrition, and the daily regimen of getting himself ready for camp. So in essence, yes, Matt, it's what we talked about with Damon Arnette that we've seen all season long, and you've called in numerous times, and Q and I have talked about over the weeks and weeks and weeks of the season, which is he's got to up his game. And it's not, it's to be great player, it's not just your ability on the field and making plays. It's also what you do off the field. You know, we remember Kobe Bryant today on the day he passed, unfortunately, a year ago in the accident. And the one thing you know about Kobe Bryant is he worked as hard off the court in all those areas as he did on the court. And that's what made him the great player he was. So clearly, Mike Mayock saying, hey, we like Damon Arnette, but Damon Arnette's got to get serious about being a professional. So I agree with you there. Great call, Matt. As always, thank you for joining us here on Silver and Black today. Okay, we now go on the Newsmaker line and bring in our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas here in the capital of Raider Nation. Jesse, you can follow him on Twitter at JesseNews3LV. And Jesse, I know, you know, you've been a lifelong Buccaneers fan, which hasn't always been easy. Of course, you had the Super Bowl back in 2003, and now finally they're back there. First of all, as a fan, you know, we always talk to you as a professional journalist. Now we get to talk to you a little bit in both capacities, and as a fan, how you feeling about the Buccaneers? You know, last year at this time, they had Jameis Winston stuff had just come to an end, and then all of a sudden they're in the market for a quarterback. They get Tom Brady, and now they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, safe to say I'm feeling pretty great. Still kind of on a high from the weekend for sure, you know, and you said it. I mean, coming from Jameis throwing, you know, 30 interceptions to Brady, who cut that in half and then some, you know, I mean, he's had his ups and downs, but you know, I just remember last year so many people talking about, you know, the Bucs are trash, all these different things. And, you know, and then we get Brady and everybody's kind of talking about how there's not going to be much of a difference. And, you know, think about the defense that we had last year, and then now we obviously still have it, and you turn down the interceptions and it turns into a totally different ball game, you know. So I know it hasn't been perfect, but, man, it's nice to have him back there. Nice to be relevant again. You know, the feeling that I want for the Raiders as well, because I want Raider Nation to be able to get back to this as well, and, you know, be back there competing for championships, because it's fun to be a fan, you know, when your team is good.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to touch on, and we'll talk about Tom Brady in a second, but one of the things that has impressed me so much and that I've enjoyed watching as the Buccaneers have gone through their ups and downs of season, there's no question, every NFL season for every team has ups and downs. There's very few years where you see a team that just completely dominates, either losing one or two games. But the way that the Buccaneers performed when Tom Brady came over from the Patriots. But to me, the thing that just sticks out is Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians, you know, his time in Arizona, he had shown that he was a very good coach. And then, of course, he had the health issues. He had to step away. He did TV for a little while, which I did not like him as much on TV as I do on the sidelines. But he's in Tampa. And let me tell you, as they say, this guy's got stones as big as boulders, because I love his aggressive style. He believes in his offensive unit and his defensive unit. So he will make calls that some coaches are, I think, apprehensive to make, meaning, you know, if it's a third or a fourth down, they go for it. I mean, the pass from Brady to end the first half, the 39-yard touchdown pass to me, which set the tone for the second half, showed me that, hey, you know what? Bruce Arians is not going to sit back. He's not going to sit there and kick field goals. What he's going to do is, when he has a chance to put you away or to be aggressive and go over the top and take control of the game, he does it.
Yeah, no, he does. And I'll be honest, as I'm watching the game, it was one of the few games I've been able to actually watch at home and take in and everything. I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, like, what are you doing? Because they took Brady out and they were gonna kick. And I was just like, come on. They put him back in, and they went for it. And I think it was maybe that moment where he was like, hey, look, he had that, you know, he rethought it, and he's like, hey, no risk, no biscuit, we got to go for it. You know, and that's the thing you like to see, a guy that trusts his team. And that was even one thing post-game, you know, he was talking about Brady and kind of what he did for this franchise and the belief that this one man kind of gave them. And that, you know, trickles down to everybody, and it goes to the coach as well. When he's got a guy, and he can sit there and say, hey, look, I've got, you know, the greatest of all time. Let's go for it. Let's see what happens. And that totally changed the game. I mean, look at the way the momentum was from there. You know, the Packers are playing catch-up, and I'm getting texts after that from so many people saying, oh, it's over. You guys are going to the Super Bowl. And I was quick to tell them, hey, look, they still have Aaron Rodgers. And like, let's chill out on that. And obviously it turned into a bit of a game. But, you know, that things like that, making decisions like that when they work out for you, it's such a massive momentum changer, and it changes the course of the game. And you see him do that often, and you love to see it, and it makes it more exciting as a fan as well.
Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas is our guest here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And Jesse, you talk about Arians, of course, and then his staff, you know, has the same mentality, clearly. And I think it shows the staff that he put together in Tampa was key to their success this year. You look at the defense, you look at Todd Bowles, you look at Byron Leftwich on the offensive side. And, you know, this is something that we learned from the Raiders, right? The Raiders didn't have the right guy on defense as their defensive coordinator. We saw what happened this year. Talk about that, too, and the coaching staff. And what Bruce Arians allows them to do, gives them the freedom. Of course, he's the top dog. He's the CEO of the football team on the field. But letting Bowles do what he has with the talent he has, letting Leftwich work with Brady close enough to make sure that they get the offense they need. And I know that took a little bit longer to smooth out with a new quarterback. But those two guys did an excellent job this year as well.
Yeah, they really did. And, you know, on the offensive side of things, you know, with Leftwich, you know, an up-and-coming offensive mind, and he's proven that over the years, you know, or over the last, like, 2 years it is or what. But, you know, with them, you know, no off-season coming in. Like, yeah, they stumbled out of the gates a bit, but as soon as Brady kind of got his feet wet and was able to sink his teeth into this, and Leftwich got used to working with him, that's really when things got to click. And like you said, they're, you know, they're working in lockstep. And when you have that continuity, it's big. And, you know, just even look at the Raiders' offense for the most part. You know, again, we've talked about that the offense is in a good spot, and that's because, you know, Gruden and Olsen, you know, they're on the same page. They're doing things. I know Gruden calls the plays, but, you know, they're still working together. They've got that comfortability. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball, and there was that disconnect. But with Todd Bowles, you know, he's a former head coach. who obviously had his struggles as a head coach, but, you know, he always knows how to do his defensive thing, and he's got the guys on that side of the ball as well. And that's where I think you go back to the Raiders bringing in a guy like Gus Bradley, a former head coach. You know, he's been there, done that. He can handle things. So you take where they've got all these things on their plate trying to manage an entire roster, and you say, hey, no, you're good at defense. You coach the defense. You're the head coach of the defense. There's a lot less to worry about. You freeze you up to kind of do your thing. And, again, he's got the trust in his dogs. I mean, a lot of times, you know, they were playing man coverage in this game, and he was sending guys and saying, hey, we're going to trust you. And a couple times Aaron Rodgers made him pay because that's just who he is. But, man, I mean, he trusted his guys, and Shaq Barrett and JPP, they got there and, you know, made him right more times than he was wrong. And, again, it goes back to with the Raiders and the pass rush that you need to be able to have and things like that. I mean, if you are able to get to the quarterback and not even necessarily sack them, just pressure them, get in their face and rush their progression, it's a game changer, you know. And I know Gruden talked about that all year, but that right there just shows you how important that is. You know, when you're able to do that, it frees you up to do so much more at so many different levels of your defense.
Yeah, and you talked about Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, what an amazing game. I think it was the best game of his career because of the impact it had. And, of course, Devin White, a guy that the Raiders had a chance to draft and chose not to. But that defense, to me, you know, a lot of people, I said after the game, I go, look, you cannot argue. I'm sorry. I don't care what you say. I know there's different generations. You know, Joe Montana was a great quarterback. There's no question one of the best ever to play the game. It was a different era. Different rules, I understand that. But when you look at what Tom Brady's been able to do, he's the best ever. And a lot of folks argued me, well, it wasn't Tom Brady who won that game. It was the Buccaneers defense. But the last time I checked, it's a team game. And even despite throwing three interceptions in the second half, Tom Brady did what he had to do. And it's the air of Tom Brady. You know, when you reach that level of GOAT status where you've thrown 80 postseason touchdowns, and the next guy behind you is Joe Montana, and he's only got 45 compared to your 80. I just don't understand. I mean, you don't have to like Tom Brady. That's totally fine. But I don't understand anybody who could argue this team would, even with its defense, I don't think is near this good or in the Super Bowl without Tom Brady.
No, it definitely is. And I mean, you know, for being completely honest, you know, in that game, the defense was the one that carried him here over the Packers. And,
sure,
you know, Brady got outplayed by Rodgers. I mean, I have no problem admitting that, you know. Rodgers played well enough to win the game. His defense just couldn't come through for him. And, you know, they did pick him off three times, but they couldn't come through when they really needed to come away with some stops and not get penalties and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, just having a guy like that, Brady, what he's done in so many different times. I mean, look, there's plenty of people that are, you know, considered greats in the athlete world that I'm like, man, I don't like the guy, but you got to respect him. And I know Raider Nation feels a certain type of way about him, but, man, you just look at the fact that this guy is going to his 10th Super Bowl, and no matter your feelings about him, it's crazy to think about that. You know, you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he's 1-4 in championship games. I mean, and think about the talent that he has. And so it's not just talent. There's so many things that have to go right, but Brady has figured out a way to get there and do it so many times, and he's got the rings. I mean, it's just crazy. And if they are able to win this championship, you know, every year we have the same conversation of if he does this, then he's definitely the greatest. There's no debate, you know. But it's like, look, he's already at that level. Anything else that he gets on it now is just kind of adding to the resume. But it is incredible to be able to sit back and watch this happen. And I'm sure everyone is fans out there. I mean, once he's done, to be able to say that you lived through this. You know, for me, I don't really have vivid memories of Michael Jordan when I was growing up, but, you know, just going back and looking at his things and watching the 30 for 30 and all that, it's just like you sit back and go, wow. So this is where those things where being a Bucs fan or not, I sit back and then revel in being able to watch a guy like him play, because when he's done, we're all still going to be talking about it.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, 10 Super Bowls is just remarkable, and I don't know that we'll ever see that again, even with Patrick Mahomes being a young guy and the Chiefs being in back-to-back games. You brought up a good point, which is it doesn't matter that Tom Brady played in the worst division in football, the AFC East, for all those years. You still had to get past all those teams. Yeah, you had the home field advantage. I get that and how big it is, but you still had to get there, and you still had to win the games, so it's a very difficult thing. And you talked about Aaron Rodgers. And I thought those of us in the media jumped to way too many conclusions after the game, because clearly Rodgers was dejected. It's the worst time, you know, and we've had to deal with athletes where you go after even a Raider loss. When we would get on the Zooms this year and they just had a tough loss, it's tough for those guys to come out. They're disappointed in what happened, especially in this case. It's an NFC championship game and a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers, of course, is down. He says, well, we're unsure about the future and blah, blah, blah. Everybody jumps to the conclusion. Aaron Rodgers Rodgers, I don't think is going to go anywhere. And Green Bay just didn't do a good job of play calling. And like you said, their defense didn't do well either. But you look at Aaron Rodgers, and I think people it's hard for them to understand the emotion of losing such a big game, especially for a guy who's put up with his team kind of waiting, you know, trying to rebuild to championship status, and then he finally gets there. They don't have all the tools there. But you agree with me that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to go anywhere?
He's not leaving. You know, it's funny turning on all the different national shows and hearing him talk about it and stuff, and, you know, start saying where he could potentially go. And, like, look, he is not going anywhere. I think if they're going to move him, it's next year. And the only way that he's going anywhere this year is if he forces his hand, because, you know, look, at the end of the day, maybe he says, hey, I don't want the Packers to be able to control my destiny in terms of when I leave this team, because eventually, you know, he's probably going to have to, the way the situation is with Love there and everything. But that's the only way I see it happening, but I don't see that happening. You know, even their CEO, I didn't read the article, but I saw an article on NFL.com that said, what the quote was, we're not idiots, he's not anywhere, basically. And it's like, yeah, they're not going to let this guy walk. I mean, he's the MVP. You don't let that guy walk in an MVP season. You know, and I imagine, you know, let's say you bombed a radio show, or for me, I bombed a live shot, and then someone stuck a mic in my face and was trying to talk to me about it. I mean, you wouldn't be happy about it, and all the bad feelings that you have are going to come out in that moment, you know? So, and I know these athletes go through that all the time, and that's part of their work, but at the end of the day, they are still human. So, like, they're going to release those emotions, and when we get that, it's good. I'm not enjoying, obviously, his pain, but enjoy getting a real reaction from these athletes and seeing what they're really thinking about, and instead of getting that canned answer. So I'm glad that he said those things, because you see where his head's at, because there is so much uncertainty about the other guys around his, you know, his teammates and things like that of every season, no matter the situation. So, yeah, he's not going anywhere, but there's definitely some guys that are going to be moving around on that team and guys that won't be there. And he realizes, look, we were on the cusp of going to a Super Bowl, the pinnacle of where you try to get in this sport, and it was ripped away from them. I mean, that is a devastating thing to have to go through and then have to sit there and talk to people about us, like us, about it. It's probably not a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I don't blame either. Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas is our guest here. We're talking about the NFL playoffs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the team the Buccaneers will face in the Super Bowl, Jesse, the Kansas City Chiefs, equally as impressive. Of course, their quarterback at the beginning of his career, where Tom Brady's kind of in the sunset of his, both amazing players. And if you look at what the Chiefs were able to do, I was really looking forward to, I thought that the game between the Bills and the Chiefs would be a great shootout. It turned out the experience of the Chiefs, having been there before, was so big, because we saw a young, good quarterback in Josh Allen come out and just really, I think, have some jitters and not being able to perform on the offensive level with Sean McDermott, the coach there, and Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator. They just could not get things going. And with the Chiefs, you know, they can score at will. Their defense has gotten better and better. They have the same team they had last year. That experience, to me, was a key difference there for them to win this game. You agree?
Yeah, I definitely do, and it's almost not fair, you know, watching the Chiefs. You know, you grow up playing sports and things like that, and coaches always say, you know, you have to be locked in all the time. You can't just flip that switch. Well, it's clear the Chiefs are able to flip that switch, which is just ridiculous. At this level, for a team to be able to just be like, all right, we're playing, let's do this, and then to come out and dominate a team like the Bills, who everyone was on this year. And look, they were a great team, and I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but it was clear. They showed that inexperience. They showed that, hey, this is our first time being here, and it was clear. And Josh Allen made a ton of great strides, and I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a good quarterback for a long time. But he showed in that game that he's not there yet. The Chiefs affected him big time, and it messed with everything they had. And same with Daboll. You know, he's been calling plays for a bit at different levels throughout his career, but never in a situation like that, and it showed. So, you know, it's just crazy. It just goes to the testament to tell you of how great the Chiefs are and the position that they're in and kind of what we're witnessing with them. And I know Raider Nation hates hearing about it, but they're an unbelievable team. That their defense is so much better than it was last year. They've addressed so many issues. And, you know, now what they're able to do on that side of the ball in terms of showing different looks and getting to the quarterback is on a different level. You know, I'm curious to see kind of how it shows in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Jesse, I mean, we'll get into the matchup between the Bucks and the Chiefs next week when we talk to you. But before we let you go, you know, you watch that Chiefs team. Now they're going to their second straight Super Bowl, and they've been in three straight AFC Championship games, obviously losing the year before to the Patriots. But if you look at what they're doing and what the Raiders are doing to address the Chiefs, because the Chiefs, to me, are still several laps ahead of where the Raiders are development. But if you look at the way the Raiders are building the roster, it's clearly focused on trying to replicate and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They were able to do it once this year, almost did it a second time, if not for that defensive collapse at the end of the second game here in Las Vegas. But when you look at the Raiders and you look at these final four teams that we saw last weekend, I still think the Raiders have a ways to go. What's your assessment, especially in the division, looking at the Chiefs, how far the Raiders are away from really truly contending with the Chiefs in the AFC West?
Yeah, I've kind of maintained, you know, since the season really started, that they're probably about 2 years away, which sucks because that puts you in a weird situation with a handful of different guys on the team in terms of contracts and who's going to be there. But yeah, they're still a ways away, you know, and they didn't show the maturity down the stretch and, you know, the ability to adjust and things like that when teams had more of a book on them. So you want to see them take those strides. But yeah, I mean, you know, they before the season started, John Gruden was honest and said, you know, we're chasing the Chiefs. And Mayock, I believe, said the same thing as well. And then when the season started, they kind of backed off of that a bit to try and maybe, you know, lay off of making the game more than it was. But if we're being honest, that was a massive game. That was their Super Bowl. They won that one. It was a bit of a letdown the second time that they faced. So, yeah, they still have some things to address for sure. You know, defensively, I think you just got to get some help on the back end. You got to be able to rush the quarterback. Because, again, the teams that have had success against the Chiefs are able to get to Mahomes without blitzing, and they're able to drop more people back in coverage and things like that. And again, the Raiders were one of the teams that had success against them, so obviously there are some pieces there in order to do it. But, you know, it's one of those things, hey, you caught them once, now you're going to have their full attention every single time, so you have to have the personnel in there to be able to do it. So I still think, you know, they're still going to be able to compete with everyone in their division. There's no doubt in my mind about that, but to the point to where they're a scary playoff team, I think they're probably still about 2 years away till they get to that point. And I think they could do it, because I do trust Mayock and Gruden as evaluators and things like that. Obviously, they've had some hiccups here and there, but I think that they've got the guys in place to get it done. It's just a matter of getting the time, the offseason, the reps, and things like that. And I heard you talking about Damon Arnette, a guy like him learning how to be a pro, learning what it takes to be a pro at this level, because everyone's good. It's a matter of figuring out how can I do this each single day and having that discipline.
Well said, my friend. All right, Jesse Marek, News 3, Las Vegas. Jesse, enjoy the next week of bliss leading up to the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday when we'll get into the X's and O's.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
All right, there you go. Jesse Marek from News 3 Las Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter at JesseNews3LV. All right, we're going to step aside when we get back. We're going to get to some callers. Sean, you're on hold. We'll get to you first up after the break. This is Scott Colbranson. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, back here, Silver and Black Today, on another gloomy day here in the capital of Raider Nation, the seat of power. For the Silver and Black, that is, of course, Las Vegas, Nevada. Some more rain. We needed it badly. Got more snow. You probably have seen the pictures, because in Las Vegas, when it snows, people go absolutely ape crap over it. Because we don't get that. Remember, folks, we get, on a good year, we get just under about 5 inches of rain a year. But we've been well under that. And so when weather happens here, it's a big deal, because we just don't get very much of it. It's usually sunshine and light breezes. So the fact that we're at a point where we're getting rain and snow is good for the environment, obviously good for plants and the foliage and all that stuff. Yes, we do have stuff that grows in the desert, but nonetheless, it is a cold, dreary day. But we're here talking Raider football. We're talking NFL football, and we appreciate you being with us. As always, our show is powered by our good friends Sam and Ash, injury attorneys. Check them out at samandashlaw.com, because you deserve
what's right. You can also call in. Tell me what you think so far. Great conversation thus far with Q and Jesse and all of you as well. 702-365-9200 is the number for the Raider Nation Radio Listener Hotline. We'll get you on the air. Our good friend Jeff Barnett, he's a listener. He goes by on Twitter at One Nation Only. And Jeff was talking about the Super Bowl for Raider fans because it's the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs. Okay, and it, we'll cue up the Philville piano prayer in a minute. But the Chiefs,
all the kids in Vegas to wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, my Father who art in heaven, we hate the Chiefs."
We hate the Chiefs, right? So that's the prayer. That's the Villa piano prayer. Playing Tom Brady, who of course Raider fans hate as well, right? So who do you pick? Well, we've been asking that question all week, and we'll ask it next week, too, in the lead-up to the Super Bowl, or the big game, if you don't want to be sued. But nonetheless, Jeff sent me a DM today, and he said, here's my take on the Super Bowl. After a lot of soul-searching, I've decided I'm rooting for Kansas City. Now, stay with me. Stay with Jeff on this one. As much as I hate the rival Chiefs, and as much as I hate Tuck Rule Tom, the thought of FAB, of course, Antonio Brown, getting a Super Bowl ring after everything he did to the Raiders on and off the field makes me sick. So go Chiefs. And then he says, I think I just puked in my mouth a little. So there's Jeff Barnett at One Nation Only on Twitter, a take there. It's interesting to hear what Raider fans, because it's tough, man. This is a game, like this is a nightmare game for Raiders fans because the Chiefs, of course, you know, if it was the Bills, you could root for the Bills. The Bills Mafia, all good people. Bills have a long history and an important history with the Raiders, of course, getting the loan to Al Davis from the former owner of the Bills that allowed him to buy the Raiders and stay in the and stay in the league. So there's a kinship between Raider fans and the Buffalo Bill fans when they don't play. So it's a nice rivalry. Not so with the Chiefs. And then, of course, Tom Brady, one of the worst moments in the history of the Raiders franchise he was involved with. Of course, the fumble. I'm not calling it Tuck Rule. I'm calling it fumble because it was a fumble. And I don't think anybody out there debates that it was a fumble, except for Patriot fans. So you have Tom Brady, Mr. Fumble, against the Chiefs. And so who do you pick? And most, I'm getting some feedback from people who are saying, look, I'm not picking anybody. I'm going to bet some prop bets or something and have fun with the game, but I don't want either one of them. Well, there's got to be a winner. There's going to be a winner. And so my question to you is, if one of these teams, it's pick your poison. I understand that. You're drinking cyanide or hemlock. Like you're going to have to drink one of them. Like which one is going to win? And if you're not going to be happy either way, but if you had to decide, Raider Nation, if you had to decide who you want to win this game, who are you going to pick? Jeff just laid out, he says Kansas City because of Antonio Brown, basically, which is a very good point. I didn't think about that. And Antonio Brown, we don't even know if he's going to play. But nonetheless, he would get a Super Bowl ring if the Buccaneers won. So what disgusts you more, the rival Chiefs winning the Super Bowl or Antonio Brown and Fumble Tom winning the Super Bowl? Because that's where we're at, right? Oh boy, it's a tough one. I know. And I don't like either one of them to win either. So we're going to get a caller in here before the top of the hour. We'll see what he has to say. It is Raider Mike. Raider Mike, you're on with Scott here on Silver and Black today.
What's up, Scott? How are you doing?
Hey, man. Doing good.
Anyway, I did Rip City Radio last night. Chad says hi, by the way.
All right.
And I did ESPN Florida an hour ago on this exact topic. And I didn't make these calls until I thought about it because this is gut-wrenching. I
Absolutely.
Literally kicked my television in during the Tuck Rule. It was one of those big screen roll-around jobs. I need a new one anyway. But it was $2,800 when I bought it. That's how angry I was. But the Muppet starting a dynasty in KC, that is way worse for Raider Nation. Mm. It just is. We can't have that. I went on JT earlier and said the same thing. Look, we cannot have the Muppet starting a dynasty. That'll just destroy our psyches for 15 years. So, anyway, that's my opinion, guys. As far as Aaron Rodgers, let's get this straight. He's in control of the situation and will be, because he'll either force a trade or they'll work with him and get him out of there. Because he, if he says, I want to play for you, John, Chucky, it's going to happen. That's just the way it is. And it'll get done. I want to stay with DC. I backed him up since he was drafted. I mean, that's the jersey I wear if I go to a game, his car. So I love the guy. Yeah. And I love the cohesion in 3 years. Yeah. I mean, Gruden and him are on the same page. So that's my two cents, guys.
Raider Mike.
Anyway, thanks for the opportunity and the platform. Be good.
Yeah, you're a gem, man. Thank you so much, and I agree with you. Yeah, if you listen, any team, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's the Raiders, it doesn't matter. If you can get a generational player, then you do. I just don't think. I think they'll smooth it out with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe give him some concessions in Green Bay. Have him a little more involved. He's already been very involved in the selection of his coach, LaFleur, there. So we'll see what happens. But I just, you know, if Raider fans are thinking about this offseason and Aaron Rodgers, I think it would be time wasted unless it got serious and something happened, which I just don't think is going to happen. I'd be more focused on who the Raiders are going to get to shore up that defense and what they can do with that offensive line to continue to improve it. All right, Raider Mike, thanks again. All right, we're going to step aside, top of the hour break. When we come back, Nick Cothrell, who is a staff writer at silverandblacktoday.com as well as Pro Football Network. He's going to talk with us about the Senior Bowl, of course, which started in Mobile, Alabama. We're going to talk about some targets the Raiders might be interested in. They might be watching closely on offense and defense during this Senior Bowl game. You're here, Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio.